Friends in Christ, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you know that here in Montana, Lutherans some years ago decided that one thing that might help pastors and other church leaders not go crazy would be to send them on a spa vacation the week after Easter. And so the post-Easter pastors conference was established. It's held at Chico Hot Springs, many of you know, which is aptly located just outside the little town of Pray, Montana, in the Paradise Valley south of Livingston and on the road toward the northern entrance for Yellowstone National Park. It's kind of a rustic place in some ways, but they serve some good food and provide clean rooms. Yes, there is a bar, and the hot springs provide a relaxing respite. But the best place to be for the few days we're there is the lobby, where the fireplace is often going, comfortable in the cushy couches, laughing and sharing stories with friends. It's not all about being lazy, though. Each year there's a speaker or two, someone who can present some useful information. Tough crowd, though. When you put pastors in the seats and somebody else up here in front, you can bet that we're not going to let them get away with just phoning it in. This year was somewhat unique. Instead of having some speaker just talk at us, they brought in a guy by the name of Paul Oman, a pastor from Wisconsin. He does this thing where he paints in front of an audience or a congregation Bible stories. And as he paints, he talks about the story and how it might have meaning to us. Sort of a visual sermon. He actually did 5 or 6 paintings over the course of the 3 or 4 days that we were there together. And one of them was the scene of this week's story, the appearance of Jesus to the disciples and eventually Thomas, and after his resurrection, according to John. This is the finished painting. It took about an hour. It's about 5 feet tall and 4 feet wide. It's not a masterpiece by any means, but a way of colors and shapes and shadow and light to bring the story to us in a brand new way, I think. What do you see in the painting? You heard me read the story just a moment ago. Does the painting change your perspective or bring to light any new insights? A couple of things that we noticed as the painting came into being in front of our eyes. Notice the use of dark and light. All around the edges, the painting is dark. There's almost a dark cloud that engulfs the figures. In the story, the disciples are in a locked room. Why? Because they're afraid. The Bible says that they're afraid of the Jews. That's not entirely accurate. The disciples are Jewish people themselves, after all. Actually, they're afraid of the religious leaders who have sold themselves out through the occupation of their Roman overlords. They're afraid of what comes to be when religion and governmental authority mingle for the sake of power veiled in promises of peace. Either way, the darkness is pushed away, isn't it? Jesus appears in the middle of the darkness. How often is that image of light appearing painted in the stories of the Bible? It's the first one, after all. In the beginning, when darkness covered the face of the deep, God said, "Let there be light." And when Israel cried out from the depth of captivity, and when Joseph was cast into a pit, or Daniel in the lion's den, or when Elijah ran away and hid in the dark of a cave in the hills, And in the dark night of winter's grip on earth, we celebrate the light of Christ born in a stable. And even our celebration of Easter joy last week began in the darkness of a tomb and in the dark fears of the women who came to soothe Jesus' dead body. On that Easter morning, and in the evening when the disciples were locked in a tomb of their own making, Jesus appears. Jesus appears in the darkness because that's where Jesus is needed. As in the case of Thomas, who gives voice to his pain and does not hold his fears inside. Which of the figures in the painting is Thomas? Is he the one closest to Jesus' outstretched hand? Has Jesus come close to him and made his offering to let Thomas touch his hands and his side? Or is Thomas the one closest to us? In the bottom right, with his face still half turned away from this appearance, Thomas is perhaps still not quite sure if he's willing and able to believe. Or is Thomas the one who is different, differently dressed? It looks like that might be a woman in the middle of the painting wearing pastel colors. Or could that be the fire of hope and joy felt by Thomas as Jesus comes also to him a whole week after his first appearance to the others? Would it be okay if we allowed the aura of the feminine to surround Thomas? It could be that each of the gospel stories tell us that it's women who first became the witnesses of the resurrection. Because in order to know the resurrection, you're also going to need to be able to feel it. And the resurrection doesn't just feel like joy and peace, but also fear and uncertainty. In my experience, women are better judges of the complete array of feelings swirling around us, especially when those feelings are confusing or frightening. Maybe Thomas, along with the women who first tell the men about Jesus' resurrection, is willing to bear those fears until he too is given the blessing of seeing with his own eyes. And what about Jesus? Bathed in light. John's gospel tells us early on that from the beginning, the light was in this one called the Word. This Word come to be flesh in our world, although by being born in the flesh, the light of Jesus was subdued. And here, after the resurrection, even though the flesh remains, the light is no longer diminished. The time of shadows and of blood and of tears and sweat is over. And this Jesus, who appears inside locked rooms and into the fears of Thomas, does not hold back, but allows the power of God to shine forth in all its radiant glory. Only don't forget to notice the smudge of darker color still tucked into the folds of Jesus' robe. For if the incarnation of God into this world is to have any meaning for us, then the darkness of our world, its pains and griefs, must be forever the experience of this one who is God. Just as Jesus continues to bear the wounds on his hands and in his side, he forever carries the pain and continues to bear. And in truth, this goes back to the beginning too, doesn't it? Because even in that dark void of ages before creation, God has been. God is in the darkness to speak into and out of darkness. So when the darkness is in us, God is undeniably there too. One last thing came up in our discussion about this particular painting of Jesus and Thomas and the disciples in a locked room. Notice that there's a pathway through and into the life that is captured by these colors of light and dark. An opening exists at the bottom and through the midst of whatever hopes and fears still swirl around this room. It's a pathway that is opened for you and me and all who gaze upon this visual sermon. Like the women who ran from the tomb full of fear and the disciples who are locked away in fear. Like Thomas who belligerently demands that his fears be validated. And everyone throughout time and history who have struggled to imagine that God could enter the guarded souls of their hearts. There is a pathway for us, a pathway through a broken community of saints, disciples who long to see Jesus. We are called to enter the painting, enter the story, enter the life of darkness and light, bringing all that we carry, our fears and our joys. And maybe that's why they chose some years ago to send pastors and others who are leaders of congregations and ministries in this synod away for a few days following the busy season of Lent and Holy Week. Because we too need to experience, in the middle of our fears and joys, Jesus who has come among us. We need to soak in the hot springs of God's love and share in the laughter of a conversation with our friends and colleagues. And maybe a beer or two at the saloon doesn't hurt. We share this story. You and me and everyone who clings to the hope of Jesus. We are all in the painting. And the painting comes alive in us. Amen.